The voice of the NCFNB podcast finally gets out of the box for a weekend. I'm down in Fuquay Varina for the Freedom Balloon Fest, but I know that you're doing today's podcast about some great veteran-owned breweries in Fayetteville, and it's All-American Week in Fayetteville, and it's a great time to tie that into the Freedom Balloon Fest here, and we couldn't be more excited about this week's podcast, as a matter of fact, because we're tying in some things here in what we're calling the Landing Zone, and I got to give a shout-out to not only Fainting Goat, which is a veteran-owned brewery here in Fuquay Varina, but a big tip of the hat to Michelle Minuti and the women-owned brewery in Holly Springs. Bombshell is bringing it with the Uplift Ale. They've got a special brew just for the festival in honor of this year's Freedom Balloon Fest. So we hope everybody will come out. We actually have a lot of food here, and one that was mentioned by NCFNB podcast. Our caterer is going to be Blake Gottlieb from Under the Oak Farm is going to be handling all of our VIP catering, so we really appreciate you guys making that happen. But finally, the guy, the box voice, is out of the box for this week's podcast anyways, and then next time I'll be back inside the box. So thanks for making a shout out, guys. I appreciate it, and remember what Memorial Day weekend is really all about: to remember, honor, and to celebrate the lives of those, so many of those military families who've given so much to our country. We appreciate it. Thanks, guys, and enjoy this week's podcast over a cold, frothy one from right here in North Carolina, especially those that are brewed by our veteran-owned breweries in Fayetteville. Hoorah!
You're listening to the NCFNB Podcast, part of the OG Podcast Network. The NCFNB podcast takes you behind the scenes of North Carolina's food and beverage industry. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at NCFBpod. This episode sponsored in part by Food Scene. That's foodseen.com. Providing professional photography, social media management, video production, and website design. And now, enjoy the show.
Thank you for listening to the NCFNB Podcast. I am your co-host, Max Trujillo.
And I am your co-host, Matthew Weiss. And we are in location, on location, in Fayetteville, North Carolina, home of Fort Bragg. And we have a very special day of visiting some of the best breweries here in Fayetteville. So right now, we are at Bright Light Brewing Company with the likes of owners and proprietors of Bright Light, Mike Ray and Eddie Ketchum. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Catch. The catch. Yes. And also, I would be remiss if I didn't announce a voice you might be hearing today, the lovely Miss Melinda, have to say sorry, Miss Jackson.
Hello.
She is our...
I am for real.
She is our Fayetteville affiliate, and she is the PR and social director for The Republic based in Raleigh, but a local and native to Fayetteville.
Yep. So we're in Fayetteville, and Matt and I just... background, we're not from North Carolina, you can probably tell that real fast, but we both live here now, and we love this state, and we love exploring all different aspects of the state within the food and beverage industry, and that's hence why we're at about 100 episodes at this point. And so we've traveled all around the state and talked to people about food and beverage, and this is the first time we've been in Fayetteville, and it's important to us to understand all the pockets of what makes the state so beautiful. And I would say the first thing you think of, if, correct me if I'm wrong, about Fayetteville is the military, right?
Correct.
And so Melinda and I were having a conversation, and she said, you know, there's a bunch of breweries that are popping up in Fayetteville. I'm like, really? She goes, yeah, and a lot of them are military owned or at least employed, a lot of military veterans. And so we started getting to talking and said, well, let's do an episode and let's feature the amazing brewers that are coming out of there. Let's hear their stories, and let's release it on Memorial Day weekend, which makes a lot of sense to, you know, to honor those that fight for our country and defend our freedom. And so I think this is a great way, and thank you for starting off here. So with that said, we're at Bright Lights Brewing Company, but when I see the acronym, I just think Bright Lights Big City. Was that any, like, happenstance mistake?
No. It was actually when I was a home brewer. I had a dingy little corner of the garage that we converted into a overdone homebrewer space, really. Got a little overzealous with it and put in some new lights. And when I turned them on, my wife said a few curse words and said, "That is a bright light." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "So that's Bright Light Brewing right here." So that's basically how that came about.
I love when names come organically like that. Yeah. That's perfect.
It's funny. I wonder if a fellow North Carolina brewing company, Gizmo, could ever work something out with you guys and do it together. Call it the Gremlin Ale. Bright Light! Bright Light!
Don't you remember? We talked to Gizmo, too, so that's pretty cool, yeah.
All right, well, I already trademarked that.
I'm going to mention that.
Okay, yeah. But trademark, that's a Trujillo beer, yeah. North Carolina F&B.
So before we get into your story, Eddie, as a homage to the show, you were in the military. Uh-huh. You came back to Fayetteville to live here and lay roots down. Mm-hmm. Would you mind sharing us what your highest rank was as an officer?
Well, got out as a... Staff Sergeant, and then just decided to stay in Fayetteville. I was more or less put out on a medical,
okay,
to a degree. And when I started working for the city, because that was the first job that I got, and well, here it is 19 years later.
Yeah.
So how many years did you serve?
14 total.
14 years, wow. Yeah, for those that can't see, Eddie's 74 years old.
I had some overlapping service and stuff because I was on active duty. Then 9/11 happened. I was supposed to get out, stop loss, you know, all those 2001 babies from the Army understand stop loss means. It means that, you know, you were about to get out, but Uncle Sam chose a different path for you. I had to stay in a couple extra years under the stop loss. But when I did get out, I started working with the city. About 2 years after I got out, I was considered a critical MOS. The Army offered me a lot of money to go back in.
I'm so sorry. I know nothing.
We're civilians.
MOS is your job. What your job was in the Army. It's your military occupational specialty.
Okay.
That's
your
specialty.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You know. So basically, they felt like they couldn't do this without you, and they needed you.
Yeah, well, I mean, so many times.
Yes,
I guess.
Just say
I'm
yes.
Special.
Yeah, you were critical to the project.
Special agree.
Gotcha.
They offered me a lot.
You were critical to the freedom of our country.
They offered me a lot of money. Don't get it twisted. I did it for money.
Which is why you became a brewer.
Actually, you know what, though? Kidding aside, that's actually kind of cool.
That's just it. I did my enlistment in the Army. A couple of those years were not voluntary, because of the stop loss. I got out, started my civilian career, when they called me back and said, "Hey, we're short on these MOSs. Would you come back, XYZ?" And, you know, I did some soul searching on it. And of course I will.
I got to ask just because I'm fascinated as someone that has never been involved in the military, I got to know, what was your recruiting story like? Like, how did you decide to get in?
To make that very short, I grew up in a place called Avery County, North Carolina.
Okay.
That's where I'm from. A lot of people look at you strange and say, "Where's that?" But you tell them, "Hey, it's near Linville Falls or Grandfather Mountain."
Yeah. So you're over there, that's a... Boone.
Yeah.
Get some snow out there.
Yeah, I lived about an hour south of Boone and an hour north of Asheville. So,
okay.
You know, it's a cool spot. For all the brewery people, they know exactly where I'm at now.
Yeah.
Just getting out of there, it was just an option to get out, you know, and see the world, I guess.
Yeah.
So cool. I joined the Army when I was 17. That's the end of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Went to airborne school and went, "Hey, welcome to Fort Bragg."
So
you're never going to leave.
I assume after 9/11 you were sent to the Middle East.
Yeah.
Afghanistan?
I did. All the tours that I did was in Afghanistan.
Okay. There's not a lot of beer being produced in Afghanistan, I imagine.
But shitty beer.
Yeah.
Oh. Wait a minute. Are there people actually brewing beer in Afghanistan?
Beer actually originates from out that way. You know,
that's so, exactly right. Yeah, from the Middle East, the Egyptians.
That's
beer.
Right.
Beer actually originated in various different forms from out there. So they've been brewing beer for a few thousand years, but we've perfected it. So.
Right.
It took them a few thousand years to still make lousy beer. Yeah. In just a couple weekends, you guys figured it out.
Right. So, you get out, you finish your second run in the military you came back, and then how does the idea for starting a brewery come about?
It's all about a guy I served with, Chris, who's not here with us. He's off doing his contracting thing. So we all come together, and the good idea fairy started flying around, and then we just started throwing money at it. I mean, that's pretty much what happened.
Right.
Thanks for that reenlistment bonus.
And then, so Mike over here knew a thing or two about brewing beer. You had the home brewing, which your wife was such a fan of.
Yeah. I started home brewing. It seemed to do really well. I started brewing with any commercial brewery that would let me sit in on a brew, free labor, you know, and a lot of breweries on the bigger scales will take free labor all day long. So I brewed with everybody locally, a few up near Hickory and Granite Falls Brewing and all that. And then just got the idea one day that we were going to try and do it ourselves. And we started the corporate paperwork and everything, and then a year and a half or so later, I met Eddie and Chris. I met them through working for Dirtbag. I was Tito's brewhand for right under 2 years. With the anticipation, they understood that that's what I wanted to do. So, once again, free labor and some help.
And Tito also started homebrewing as well.
He did,
which we'll
right.
talk about later.
Yep. So we all come from kind of the same background. So I think that works out well with all of us because it doesn't create any animosity between us. No competition, to speak. So, you know, we all come from the same cloth and we all wanted to do the same thing. So they took it and I gave it, and then 2 years later we ended up here. And what I did was took homebrews that I had done that were very popular as a home brewer and moved them over into the commercial side.
Gotcha.
And so now, obviously, you know, we have a few beers that are fixing to come on to the table that are a little bit of a twist on the normal stuff. And, you know, but in general, we just try to make a nice, clean finishing beer.
So perfect segue. You guys were kind enough to pour us, both Max and I, a flight of five different beers that you guys make. So what do we got in front of us?
Basically, you have your 60 Watt, which is our IPA.
Okay.
It's not a hop head IPA. It's more of a middle of the road, something that people that say they don't like IPAs, they could drink it.
Yeah.
And you call it a 60 watt because it's not like in your face crazy.
Right. It's
60
not,
watts of yeah, pretty it's chill a, light bulb.
It's right.
Not such it's a bright light. It's
right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, so it keeps it pretty level.
What's the ABV on that?
It's about 6.4.
Okay.
Middle of the road.
Yeah, yeah, middle of the road.
Yeah.
Yep. You can have a few without worrying about, you know, being plastered. And,
yeah.
And
by the way, we didn't mention that Melinda, with all of her many talents, is also our driver today. So
yeah, that's why we're able to have a flight of five in the morning. So what's next? This one's certainly darker.
Yeah, that is our amber ale.
Okay.
Pretty straightforward, maybe just a slightly bit hoppier than a normal amber that you would buy, say, you know, commercially.
What's the wattage on this one?
I want to say it is 5.8, okay. I believe. So it's a little lower, a little more sessionable, so to speak.
That's delicious.
And then the name comes from my daughter, and I said if I ever brewed commercially, I would name a beer after her, and that's actually the first beer we ever brewed.
What's the name?
As a company. Amber's Amber Ale.
Oh, okay. You said it's Amber.
Yeah.
I didn't get
my,
that.
My daughter's name is Amber.
Got it. So
Amber's Amber Ale.
Yeah.
Were you already a fan of Amber Ale in naming your daughter Amber?
No. Actually, I didn't start drinking beer until I was probably late 30s.
You're this, like, the second or third person I've heard that, like, you don't catch the beer bug till late, but then when you catch it, man, you make up for some lost time.
I really did not like, well, I mean, the domestic side of the house, even though we are what I consider to be true domestic beer, but, you know, as far as your stamp standards that have been around for years and years, I just couldn't drink them.
Yeah,
and
that was
I just didn't like them.
Grady from Pine Top didn't really drink at all, and then he just decided to be a distiller.
Yeah.
And make
Baker, too, from Bond Brothers, I don't think he started drinking beer until much later in life either.
Yeah.
I really didn't. I just couldn't. I didn't have a flavor. I didn't have a palate for it. And but
what
then
were you
I tried
drinking, though, because you had to be drinking something.
Oh, mixed drinks and hard spirits.
Don't let Mike fool you. This guy will suck down a bottle of margarita mix.
Oh,
yeah.
So you're fancy, is what he said.
You're teasing me going way back.
Yeah. I do enjoy the margaritas. So, and
you go down to Mi Casita and just get fancy.
But the less mix is in the margarita, usually the better.
Right? Yeah. I'll have a margarita. Hold the mix.
Mike's going to get very angry. Is when you look around, you know, we built everything in here. We all came in, the wives, everybody came in, and we painted the wall. This was a warehouse when we moved in.
Yeah,
didn't have the bathrooms weren't existing, the coolers, the air conditioning. So we had to do it all. And this ties into the margarita story, because when Mike would show up, he'd bring a 2-liter stainless steel container. Mike, what the hell is that? He's like, it's my goat juice.
Oh,
it's my workday fluid. Yeah,
it's your pre-mixed margarita.
Some people drink water. I drink margaritas.
Something to keep you interested while you're doing all this manual labor, right?
Exactly.
If anybody wants to try to carry your beer, say like in Raleigh or in the Triangle, we have a lot of listeners that are out there in Durham and such. And they meet your qualifications, meaning they're cool enough. How would they reach you?
Basically, right now you can get on Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah.
And message us. You can look us up, obviously, on the phone book if that still exists. And,
old school.
Look us up on the internet. We have a presence there, and the phone numbers are all there.
Yeah.
Meaning that you would consider distributing or sending a keg up.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We do it as much as we possibly can, because once again, it just spreads the name.
Because I want to segue to this next beer. I went ahead before everyone else did, and I feel like this next beer needs to be in the Triangle in a serious way.
Maybe a keg at the NCFB studio.
What are we drinking?
The Hazelnut Toffee.
Hazelnut toffee porter. This is delicious.
Right? And on top of what you said, Ben, you said it was delicious. This is one of the first beers that I brewed and took out to weddings, parties, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was extremely popular then. And we've been really lucky that we were able to translate it over. And it's outside of the IPA. It is our number two seller.
I will say this. So, when you put your nose into a bag of coffee beans that are like a hazelnut toffee coffee.
Yeah.
You want that coffee to drink the way it smells, but it never does. It's always like, it's kind of there, it's kind of got it.
It's almost
this
like
beer
tastes totally
like what you want your coffee that's hazelnut toffee to taste like.
Yeah, that's a great compliment. Thank you very much.
It's delicious.
What does create the flavor of the hazelnut toffee in this?
Basically, we buy a English toffee concentrate, basically, and the hazelnut as well. So we take a basic, we have another, our basic porter recipe is called Black Light Porter. And all that is without the toffee and the hazelnut.
Mm-hmm.
Because of our system, we can't really overload it with
flavors
or like solid, like we can't pile in a bunch of nuts and stuff like that. And then toffee obviously is always an extract, you know.
Yeah.
So we just kind of put that in there until we felt like the taste was balance.
Yeah.
You know,
so I'm sorry. At what point in the fermentation or the process are you putting this? Are you putting flavor?
It would basically be considered a secondary fermentation. So we go through the regular fermentation, and once fermentation is slowed down to almost nil, and we're getting to the point where we're going to carbonate it,
mm-hmm.
we put it in at that point.
Cool.
So and then we carbonate with that, and that mixes it real well and gives it an even balance across the board.
Is that what traditionally flavored porters are done? Because like Max said, this seems to have staying power with the flavors. It almost seems like it's as if it was roasted in there. So is that traditionally how?
Now the coffee notes and the chocolate notes you're picking up, that's in the grain bill.
Okay.
So just a little bit of the hazelnut flavor and the toffee flavor are the what we introduce secondary.
That's what comes out because of it being a stout. Like,
right.
That's just a natural inherent flavor.
Right. And so the grain bill would be what in this?
We have pretty much some black patent malt, chocolate malt, 2-row for our base sugars, and a little bit of flaked oats for some a little hint of creaminess.
Okay.
And then the hops are pretty mild. We usually use around a 5% alpha Cascade hop, which is used widely across, right? And we just kept it real simple. We didn't want to overhop it or put a hop flavor in there that created something that conflicted. So we let the hazelnut and the toffee and the coffee and chocolate notes come through. This is the Brown Irishman. It's actually an accident beer. It is not what it was supposed to be. It's really close to what it was supposed to be, but that's what happens when you misread the scale on certain ingredients. It was actually an Irish red, a straightforward Irish red, that we put a little too much roasted malt in. And when you add roasted malt, it carries a lot of color, a lot more color than it carries in flavor, I personally think. But so when we put a little too much in, my fault, it turned it brown. And so, being it was an Irish red that was just brown, I called it, you know, the Brown Irishman. And we thought it would be okay. We really didn't think it would be much, but that is probably in the third or fourth on the seller list. I mean, people just, it's smooth. It's,
yeah,
it's almost lagerish.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, and when we put it out, we said, we'll see how it goes. And if we don't sell it, we'll never make it again. And, you know, we'll put it on sale and blah, blah, blah. And, but it literally, it had rave reviews from day one, and when we run out of it, people ask for it.
That's so, a sessionable beer right there.
Like, yes, that beer comes in right around 5.2.
Okay.
So it's very light or lighter on the alcohol level. So you can enjoy more than two, three of them, you know. And it's got a good smooth flavor. It's not a traditional brown, so to speak. You know, you don't get the real nuttiness and everything of it, but the brown came in just basically because of the color.
Yeah.
But this is, so, all right, for the novice, this is technically an ale, then, the Brown Irishman. Is that right?
It is. All our beers are ales.
All your beers are ales.
All our beers are ales now.
But this, so what makes this a porter and this not a porter?
Basically the ingredients. The brown versus the porter. The porter has the black patent, the chocolate malts and stuff like that. Those aren't present in the Irish.
So you don't have the chocolate malts and what else?
The black patent. Basically, black patent gives you a dark color. It makes it black.
Okay. But this has some other roasted malts.
It does have roasted.
It gives it some similarities.
It has roasted barley in it. So that gives you it gives you that hint of roastiness.
So again, it's back to the grain bill that gives that similarity.
Right. The malting of each grain is really what determines your color and how much malt forwardness you get. I mean, obviously, if you add any flavors, stuff like that, or fruits, or anything like that, you're going to tone back the maltiness. But with beers like that, Irish Reds and stuff, they're very malt forward. So you don't want to put anything too crazy into them. You want to, traditionally, we would have wanted a nice tinted red beer, but with roasted barley, you get it carries a lot of color.
Yeah.
So if you're a pound or two over, it's going to start shading the beer.
Darker, yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, with your lineup, that mistake can be rectified pretty soon because you're probably going to go through this beer pretty fast, right?
We do go through it. We go through it so fast that we just don't even bother to change it back. We just leave it.
Well, it was a happy accident.
It was definitely a Ross happy accident. You know, we painted a pretty tree and it stayed. So,
it was good. Bob Ross.
Bob Ross
happy accident. So just a great observation, going back to the original idea of being in the military, being in Fayetteville. Matt, I don't know if you can tell because you had your back to him, but so far since we've been in here, two different gentlemen in fatigues have come in to hang out and have drinks, and I love and appreciate the fact that this community is so open, and the community is made up of the military and men and women that are serving for the nation, so it's pretty cool that they get to take a little time off, have a couple of brews, a couple of ales, and go about their day. But it truly paints the picture of where we are at all times, which is kind of fun.
Yeah,
completely. That's correct.
Well, and speaking of painting the picture, so it should be mentioned that Melinda has put together us with our Cumberland County's Hometown Hops Passport, which we're going to try to get stamped today. So I think there is, what, 5 breweries in here that if you get stamped,
you get some
swag.
Prizes.
Yeah, so we're stamping.
$100 bill, y'all.
We need our stamps for our Bright Light Brewing Company.
Sarah will give you multiple stamps.
All right, Sarah, we need some stamps.
And they can probably even give you guys stickers, because I know you guys have stickers, too.
Yeah. Oh, so. I want stickers.
We'll walk you out with some swag.
Yeah. Well, I have a question for you guys. So I'm obviously from the area originally. What? Hush, I'm taking over. This is now my podcast. Welcome. No, but I have a question. I'm from the area, and I just want to know what made you guys actually want to do this in Fayetteville.
We all have roots here. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, Eddie was military and works for law enforcement for, you know, however, 12 years, 15 years. So, and I was a tattoo artist here for the last 23 years. Okay. So, you know, we've all got our roots here. We've got
you are nicely sleeved, I will say.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. He has zero tattoos.
That's the
running
joke right bar around here. So a cop and a tattoo artist.
Honestly, that's...
What's the punchline? Yeah. That's what I want to know.
Well, like, Fayetteville has... We have the All-American Tattoo Convention here, and we're always like, hey, you know, military and tattoos have a huge tie, but I also feel like, you know, beer and military have a big tie, because, I mean...
Mostly I've heard that military do not drink.
Ever.
Well, they prefer wine spritzers.
Yeah, margaritas.
Sorry.
This segment brought to you by Ramona Wine Coolers.
So yeah, we were all just, we you know, we're here. We've all been here for 20 plus years. And so, you know, we did it in our backyard, so to speak. Yeah, versus trying to go into another town or city.
You're growing the community here. Right. I love that. And one thing that I love, because I have been here before, and one thing I love when I come in, there's always a million dogs, which I love. And, you know, you drink a couple beers and you just want to hug all the dogs, and that's my favorite. And there's families. You know, one day I was here, there were like 3 strollers, and people just had their whole family, and they're sitting there. Not in a bad way, I promise, but, you know, they're sitting there on the couches, and you guys have games that they can just pull from at the front, and they're playing board games with their kids, and their kids are running around hugging the puppies, and it was just such a good feeling. I can tell that you guys have a great family atmosphere.
Yeah. We wanted to keep it that way.
That's how we camouflage our hillians.
Oh, yeah. I get it. You let the stroller sit at the front so everybody, you know. Yeah.
We all have kids.
It's all distraction.
Mike's got his son that's, you know, just now coming up to 8. I've got a 5-year-old daughter and a 10-year-old son. My oldest boy, he's 17. He's off to the Army in the next couple of months. But we all have kids, too, so all young kids. And it's just better. We like to – we don't want to carry the stigma of being a bar.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And, you know, too many places turn into that. And one thing to keep the rowdiness down and the young guys that want to come in and party too much is put a bunch of toddlers in the room.
Right.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
That's instant birth control right there.
Yeah, well, and it was breweries that we went to, too. You know, other breweries do the same kind of platform.
I feel like that's a common thread in the Cumberland County breweries. Everybody wants to be family friendly.
Right.
Everybody wants it to be a safe space. You can come and just enjoy beer. It's not a party spot.
Right.
You just want to hang out, enjoy beer.
We all know if you've been in Fayetteville more than 5 minutes, there are plenty of party spots.
Exactly.
So we wanted something a little different, a little more family oriented.
Well, I appreciate the time that you guys have given us. We are this is the first quarter of our 4-quarter day. So thank you for your time. Matt, what else you got?
I appreciate the time and the beer you've given us.
Yeah.
So when you're in Fayetteville, hit up Bright Light Brewing Company. You will drink very merrily.
When it comes to vodka, it starts at the farm. Social House Vodka sources corn locally from a farmer who plants non-GMO corn. And because it's made from corn, it's also gluten-free. Social House Vodka comes from Kinston, North Carolina, and sources water from the ancient Black Creek Aquifer. Social House Vodka. Live socially. Enjoy responsibly. This segment is brought to you by the Triangle Wine Company. Visit Triangle Wine Company stores in Morrisville, Cary, and Southern Pines, North Carolina. Or order your wine and beer online at trianglewineco.com. And be sure to use our promo code, NCFB, to receive 10% off your purchases. Triangle Wine Company.
This is part 2 of our Fayetteville beer extravaganza, and we are here at Dirtbag Ale. Dirtbag Ales, yeah. And we are with the owner and head brewer, Tito Simmons Valenzuela, not related to Fernando, for those who are asking, sadly, but probably a fan. And the assistant brewer, Ms. Hope Demetris.
Hello.
Welcome. Thank you for having us here. We have 15 beers in front of us, which we will be finishing in 15 minutes, and then we'll start over the conversation.
Power hour.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, Tito, you've already been referenced a bunch on the podcast, and we talked about you a bunch with Melinda, our Fayetteville affiliate over here. So you're somewhat of a... You've spawned a lot of action and ideas and other brewers in this town.
The guys
at Bright Light were saying that they had trained with you beforehand.
Mike worked alongside with me for about 18 months before getting started. So
inspire us. Tell us why you're awesome.
I get up and I work, man.
Yeah.
That's really it. I work and...
Well, so you do have a pretty awesome background. You were a medic in where were you exactly, or what was your highest rank, and where were you stationed?
So I made it to E5, so I was a sergeant in the Army, and I did 8 years as a medic. Two years of that 8 years was spent outside of Fayetteville. So I've been here since 2006.
Okay.
I left and went to Baghdad for 15 months, came back. And then I went down to Savannah for a year, and then actually re-enlisted to come back here again because I met my now wife, and she was going to school at Methodist. So
nice
to come back here, and now it's home.
Yeah. So, a couple things drawing you back here: your wife, and then just the area in general. I assume is pretty cool.
Yeah. Like when I first got here back in '06, like I wanted to see. You know, I was always gone. I'd go to Chapel Hill or I'd go down to Jacksonville. And then when it came time for me to get out of the military, like, it was, my wife had a job and the price of living here is great.
Yeah.
And I figured we only had one opportunity to actually do something like this. And this was a place that really needed it. So we stayed here and went to town.
Yeah.
It hasn't been easy, but...
Random fact, I think I read it's the, according to Bloomberg Business Weekly, it's the number 5 top housing market or new housing market in the country, something like that.
Yeah. Fayetteville, like even during the recession, like there was never really any loss here.
Mm.
Just because it's the military town, everybody had solid steady paychecks and all that stuff.
Economically, the military is bulletproof.
Government can just make more money, right?
They can just print more money.
Yeah. You got the key to Fort Knox. We need a couple more billions.
Yeah. No, but Fort Bragg is stationed here, and while we're doing fun facts, apparently also Fort Bragg is the largest
military installation in the world.
As far as personnel.
Yeah, and it houses about 50,000.
Yeah, and you've also got like 4 or 5 major headquarters here between the Special Warfare Center, the School for Special Warfare, the Force Comm Commander, 18th Airborne Corps, 82nd Corps, and the Reserve Commander. Mm-hmm. So
this is a pretty legit military town. That's what we're saying.
Yeah. No, they did a whole like realignment thing, and basically it's the center of the military universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's cool about that, and I didn't realize, and I don't think a lot of civilians think about, but when I first came out here, I was working for Heaven Hill Distilleries, peddling their booze and wares, and I'm also a wine guy. And I remember actually the person who first enlightened us on Fayetteville was Ryan Hinson
of
Tin Roof Teas, because what he said was... And actually, he does well with his exotic teas in Fayetteville. And the reason is he does well here is because a lot of the veterans had traveled all over the world and thus acquired a eclectic taste and then will seek out these exotic teas and stuff. And so I imagine that really helps with tastes for craft beers.
Yeah. You have, like in my last unit, there was, I don't know, probably a handful of them that were from California. So they're used to going to new breweries and drinking new things all the time.
Yeah.
And then you kind of get here and they're like, oh, there's not really much new. And I'm like, well, there is things going on in Fayetteville. You just got to get out there and find it. And I was like, and the only way it's going to get better is if you are out there supporting those people who are already doing those things. Because that was my big thing Monday morning. Like, what'd you do this weekend? Standing out in front of formation. They're like, oh, well, I played video games and got drunk in my marriage. And I was like, well, you can't really complain about
not being
doing anything. Exactly. So get out and actually try. Yeah.
So being a medic in the military, what is that? How does that compare, I guess, to going to medical school? What are you prepared to do?
It's funny you should mention that. Because in being a medic in the military, while you are trained to do a lot of life-saving interventions, and as long as a doctor signs off on you doing it, you're allowed to do those things. Civilian side, we're only authorized to basically drive ambulances.
Be like an EMC.
It's an EMT, yeah.
Wow.
Did you do that for a while when you got out?
No. No, I went straight into this.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically, I signed out on terminal leave in August of 2013. The beginning of that month, we contract brewed our first batch of Blood Orange Kolsch. I went and kegged it out, got my DD-214 and all my paperwork, basically clearing me from the military, and then that following Monday had tastings lined up. So,
wow, you don't let the grass grow, man.
Yeah.
Well, you have a really cool story that I want to touch on, and I know a little bit of background, so I know you're a home brewer first,
mm-hmm.
and the brewery you started with guys you were deployed with, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we all knew each other from the military, and like Eric would come over and brew with me in the morning. We'd work 12 hours a night.
Who's Eric? That's your partner?
Eric's one of my partners.
Okay.
Yes. So as far as partners go, it's me, Eric, and Jerry Hall. Papa Jerry is what we call him.
Not the famous ex-supermodel, Jerry Hall. Married to the big giant.
No.
Oh, yeah. Look alike dude?
No, Thangle Jerry Hall.
We call him Sexual Chocolate.
Okay.
Oh, I met him. Yeah, I met him.
So, Eric and I were working in the emergency room, and we'd work all night, and then, you know, we'd have 2 days on, 3 days off, 3 days on, 2 days off. So it was always this, like, weird schedule. So I just started homebrewing, and I was, like, always, we'd have parties basically every quarter, and it grew from me making 5 gallons on the kitchen stove to making 8 gallons outside on the little bayou burner to building an all-grain system to eventually we had a kegel system and we were doing between like 15 and 20 gallons every month of just new stuff.
Yeah.
And we had a yearly Oktoberfest. It was kind of like a block party, two ales, two lagers, and I had my kegerator out and people would just come over. Do brats, pretzel buns.
Stuff your own sausages.
Yeah. make my own sausages. Like,
but so you, your story is you were a home brewer commercial brewer. Was there ever a stint where you were working with like another brewery, local brewery, or anywhere else where you were gaining some knowledge?
So when we were contract brewing, all of the brewing was done out at Rail House Brewery in Aberdeen. And okay. I basically, like...
You mean you were contract brewing
we were brewing our beer at their facility.
Right, okay.
But for, like, the last year that I was in the military, we had decided, like, that we were going to do the brewery.
Yeah.
And started asking about, you know, pricing and getting quotes. And it's like, okay, we're not that rich. So, like, nobody's got that much money.
Yeah.
It's kind of, like, laying around. So the idea was to find a brewery that would just let us come in and use their equipment. I mean, you know, do everything. We had our wholesaler's permit, like we set up our entity in the state of North Carolina.
Yeah.
Everything was legit. And basically all they would have to do is pay the taxes on it. And technically
a lot of wineries work at crush facilities, yeah, things like that, where they make their wine in a bigger, larger facility, but it's still theirs.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So we did the exact same thing. I mean, so that was like a year, but we were really just going for like proof of concept because, you know, like there's plenty of businesses that have come and gone, especially in this area, and we didn't want to just jump into it head first and then end up, you know, bankrupting our family. So
yeah,
that seems to be a common theme so far. So set your business up right so that you're not owing any money or debt when you're a couple months in.
I mean, it's just two of two, but is this a lot of military training in that? I have to imagine the discipline, obviously, which is what most are known for. I mean, like, where the military is known for being disciplined. Mm-hmm. So is there a business discipline that maybe comes from there, too? Like, let's just not be a bunch of wild assholes and come in here and start doing the business.
I would say hustle, like, the amount of hustle that you have, but not necessarily the structure of the military it's not even the same pace in this sort of setting that it would be, because it's really based on what's happening, not what someone else is telling you.
Sure. I mean the mindset of adapt and overcome that you get from the military, like that's I mean, just having that fluidity, like day in and day out, but also knowing what's you have all these irons in the fire all the time. Like, you know, this weekend we've got like five birthday parties, two events, and we're just everybody's everywhere, and like all the time, you just got to be like, okay, prioritize this, and this, and you just keep moving forward. And it works the same thing or the same way when it comes down to finances. You know, yes, you want to spend money on this or that, but realistically, right now, what should we be focusing on? What should we be paying down? You know, and then just that juggling, I think, is it's more of a, like I said, just adapting.
Yeah.
And I situational
wonder,
awareness.
Like, as a business owner, and hope yourself, I didn't ask, but are you affiliated with the military?
My dad was in the military. I grew up here mostly.
Okay.
I moved around, but mostly here. I graduated high school about a mile up the road.
Right here. Wow. Okay.
And then left and came back. So my husband now is military as well.
Okay. So
you. So my whole life.
Deep in the family.
Yeah.
I wonder, though, like, how the. The hiring process and the people that you surround yourself with here in Fayetteville, the military has to like play into that, and the fact that like there's got to be this camaraderie kind of language. There's like we kid around, like if you're a line cook in the kitchen, you have your own kitchen speak. You know, it's like this is how we talk to each other. Hurt chef, you know, behind pot coming through, all that stuff. But there's got to be that familiarity, just knowing that you all have kind of worked in the same. Same industry, you know, alternate industry, but same industry nonetheless. So, is there that familiarity that kind of comes through when you're working together in the brewery?
Yeah, there is. I think it's just everybody kind of knows where the next person is coming from, and like the same, you know, they have that shared interest or that shared experience, basically. Because for her, like, she gets it from the aspect that like her husband has to go to RTC or get deployed because he's on a GRF mission, like, and then on the other side there's the folks that are actually living through it and have been there and been the ones that are like in the middle of the night, I gotta go, sorry,
there's a commonality lingo philosophy. All right, let's switch gears here and talk about Dirtbag Al's.
Okay.
First of all, where does the name come from?
So when I was working in the emergency room, I had a coworker who was also a home brewer. He'd been brewing for much longer than I had. And he was telling me about a 30-pound ale, and basically like the amount of malt that you put into a batch of beer directly affects the alcohol content of your beer. And he's talking about putting 30 pounds in basically a seven-gallon batch, I think. So it was like some ungodly amount of alcohol. And I was like, 30 pounds of malt? And somebody said, one of the nurses overheard us saying 30-pound ale, and she was like, what's a dirtbag ale? I was like, that's a great name for a company.
it's my new brewery name. That's what it is.
And I just kind of went with it, and you know, I made a like a little logo and just started putting it on my bottles, and
nice.
And there's a charm to it. I mean, you just, you know, as soon as you hear Dirtbag Ale, you're like, I gotta know what the hell's going on over there.
That's gotta be a cool place.
Most folks assume that we're just like making like some ode to being like crappy military personnel. Like, cause a lot of guys in the military, like if you're, for lack of a better term, a piece of shit, you're a dirtbag. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, that guy's a dirtbag. Like, don't trust him.
I think that's resident even outside of military. Yeah. But then, what is this dirtbag word you were speaking of?
But then the ironic thing is, of course, you have females very integrated in your business as a brewer and and Shannon, who's running all the business front of the house operations and everything, basically.
Yeah, she's basically like my right hand.
So would they be called dirt baguettes?
Isn't that like the French bread, like baguette?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would just rather be a dirt bag. I think it's
insects.
Yeah. Well, because
we always
said, what do you call non-gender a female douchebag? A female douchebag is a douchebaguette.
You just think French bread. Yes. You're hungry.
She's on a low carb diet. It's fine.
Dirtbag.
All right, let's talk beer.
Now. Yeah.
So you mentioned the Blood Orange Kolsch was one of the first beer. Was that one of the first beers?
Yes.
And is that kind of your calling card? Like, that's what you're known for? I mean, in the passport here, I see try the Blood Orange Kolsch.
We have it on tap and it's always available in it. Honestly, it sells usually twice as much out of our tap room than any of the other beers. So, it was the second batch of beer that I made. My mother-in-law brought me up some Blood Oranges and kind of just combined the two together and didn't stop brewing it.
Remind me and speak to the beer novice. What makes a Kolsch a Kolsch?
So traditionally, ours is a Kolsch style ale. And that's actually
if you ask someone from Germany, they will say we do not have a Kolsch.
Yes,
in a very shitty accent.
So the Kolsch is indicative of the Köln region of Germany. It's very specific mountain water, typically Pilsner malt, a little bit of wheat malt, or Munich malt to add some body to it, but noble hops and then German ale yeast, and you do sometimes lager it. For a little while, you can do 2-week lagering, and that's what's special about the Kolsch yeast, because it allows itself to both ferment at top temperatures, and you can take it down to basically the top end of lagering temperatures.
Okay,
so it'll still be
it's
active.
Almost a hybrid between the two.
Exactly, it is technically a hybrid ale, like it's Kolsch style / hybrid.
Okay. So what's going into your Kolsch?
So we put Pilsner, a little bit of Munich, and then where we kind of go astray is the fact that we add 54 liters of blood orange juice, and then another 3 pounds of Cascade hops at the end for more citrus aroma.
Okay. Cool.
And then we just use our regular water as well. Like we don't have a fancy reverse osmosis water purification system where we had to resalt to get specific water from that region. But
the sandy soil here helps with that as well, just the filtering of it with just the sand.
Gotcha.
Helps.
Like a natural filtration.
Nice. What's the ABV about on the
5.8?
Okay.
That's a pretty meaty Kolsch, right? I mean, Kolsch, in my opinion, I always feel like Kolsch are kind of the light summer drinking beer that are pretty easy and low alcohol, I would assume. So this is a little out of
usually between 4.5 to 5.3.
5.8 to me, I'm like, that's a low medium.
Yeah, that's the session.
But your gauge is a little skewed.
So technical question here. In the wine world, we say, sugar converts to alcohol. You're saying in the beer world, malt essentially converts to your higher ABV potential.
Yeah, so the malt itself, inside the malt is trapped, like the proteins, the starches and all that stuff. And then the mashing and boiling break those down into smaller chains, and then the yeast can consume it and create ethanol, as well as the flavor profiles that you get from the beers.
Okay.
So it's still that. It's still sugar.
It's still sugar.
It's a different sugar.
So my question was, so when you add a blood orange juice that has a lot of natural sugars, is that pumping up the ABV?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah. It does slightly bring it up
the
just
yeast
a little
eating
bit.
That sugar
right.
As well.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
That sugar
cool.
Content.
Yeah. And so just getting started with and understanding your profile, I guess, were there styles you were kind of hoping to be like or emulate? Was there like a brewery or a style or a region where you're like, man, this is the kind of stuff I'm really into, what I want to do?
When I first started brewing, like the breweries that I followed very closely to see like what they were doing was Bell's and Dogfish Head, which was I felt like those were
excellent breweries, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah.
I thought they were both very, very good. And then, like, Dogfish, the creativity behind his beers and that imagination, like, always intrigued me. And that's kind of, I mean, it just, that's what motivates me.
Yeah.
It's like, because ultimately, you can kind of do whatever you want with it as long as you go through the right steps.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And the only thing holding you back is your own imagination.
Yeah, they always blow me away. They were a featured beer at the James Beard Awards when we were there in Chicago earlier this week.
Yeah.
And they were throwing down crazy beers. I mean,
at James Beard Awards.
Exactly.
Said something.
They put their best foot forward when they're out there. But to say they were keeping up with everyone is kind of a lowbrow way of saying it. They were like pushing it for everyone with the type of stuff.
I mean, the guy started out pushing me on board. Then he had to go back and change antiquated laws and get a lawyer. And the whole nano system is piloted off of what he did, essentially, like coming up.
You're technically a nano brewery as well, is that right?
No, we're a micro.
You're a micro.
Yeah, we got a.
And then when you move into the new space, I'm sure you'll
still be micro.
Yeah. Okay.
Still
micro. Micro is a good term.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. For sure. You don't want to be Bud Light.
You can be massive and be a micro.
Yeah.
Well, Yuengling is still considered a micro brewery. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Because it's barrelage, like yearly barrelage output. Okay. So.
And so what is your yearly barrelage output at this facility?
At this facility, I think last year we were right at around 1,800. Barrels.
1,800 barrels. Yeah, okay.
Pretty good amount.
And then what do you expect at the new facility?
The new facility, hopefully by this time next year, will be nearing 4,000.
And do you want to talk a little bit about the new facility? Because I've been, I know it's bare bones right now, but it's super cool. So anything you want to share about that?
So going forward, we've learned quite a bit here. We moved into this space back in February 2014. We took it over, started brewing here September 2014. Didn't get a tap room until November of 15, mm-hmm. just because the whole permitting process for us here was a nightmare. As we move forward, we purchased 6 acres, basically right off of 95, a little bit further out. It's about 3 miles from here. But the point of it is to both make it easier for distribution and get the amenities that we don't have here, multiple bathrooms, floor drains.
Not just inside though.
So talk a little bit about like literally what the outside is like. Because I've only been to the outside and you've got a lot going on.
Yeah, so the grounds themselves are going to be kind of like an adult fun land. We've got a beer garden that we're putting in. It's going to be nice and manicured, outdoor covered pavilion, there's a dog park, kids park, and then we're going to have, I believe, 2 regulation size fields for soccer, lacrosse, kickball.
Wow.
That sounds like where I want to hang out.
And your farmer's market.
Yes, so we do a farmer's market on Sundays. Currently, we just basically reach out to local vendors and get them to come out. So produce has not been producing very much. Just because of the weather and all that. But we did a strawberry festival, and hopefully throughout the growing season, we'll just get a lot more products in. Lastly, we're going to have a service window kitchen. For larger events, we're still going to bring in food trucks, which will have plugs, so there won't be any noise of generators.
Paved parking lot.
Yeah, yep.
Exactly.
Y'all grown up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you just speak to a little bit about, like, you guys are all about community?
Yeah, so we do a ton with both local nonprofits and local organizations. We do work with the USO, the Visitors Bureau. Uh-huh.
You have weekly yoga, you have Run Club.
Oh, yeah. Local businesses, so the Run Club is kind of up to the folks to come out and do it on Thursdays. And then the yoga, we teamed up with Hayat Yoga Shala. She comes in.
Who's also a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
She's like a total badass lady veteran, and she is like goals forever.
Yes.
Well, thanks so much, Tito. This has been great. Good luck in the new facility. I can't wait to go out and play some games of soccer and baseball while having a couple of beers. So for all of you out there, when you're in come to Fayetteville, go to Dirtbag Ales and do your thing.
guests of the NC F&B podcast receive a swag bag, including gifts from these exceptional North Carolina producers. Social House Vodka, Hungry Harvest, Alley 26 Tonic Syrup, Michael's English Muffins, Larry's Beans and 42 in Lawrence, Ramona Wine Coolers, and Happy Hour Vitamins. Thanks for listening to the NC F&B podcast. I am the voice, Brian Hoyle. And if you've stuck with us this long, review us on iTunes and remember, 5 stars are encouraged.